You know, I read a bunch of quotes about mothers this week, and I'd like to just share a couple of them with you. This one says, "A mother is a person who, seeing there are only 4 pieces of pie, and yet there are 5 people, she'll promptly announce she never cared for pie anyway, even though she did." Another one, "A role of a mother is to deliver children obstetrically once and by car forevermore." I watch our youngest daughter run her kids all over the place. She might as well just sign up for Uber, but moms are incredible. I love this one. "All mothers are working mothers. There's never rest for a mom. Moms are always busy, always busy." The famous Oliver Wendell Holmes once wrote, "The real religion of the world comes from women much more than men. For mothers, most of all, who carry the key of our souls in their bosoms." And isn't that true? As I said earlier, and as Bobby reflected as well, mothers are very special people indeed. And just looking at these quotes, we could glean so many attributes of a mom. One is sacrificial. Moms are always sacrificing for their kids and will do so forever until their last breath. They are truly servants above all. They never put themselves before their kids. And they have, or should have, a spiritual influence over their children. Now, one of the most important and precious positions in all of society is not being the CEO of a Fortune 500 company or being a doctor, and all of these are noble offices, no doubt, or a general or a prime minister or even a president. It's a mom. I believe a mother is the most noble position that anybody could hold in their lives. And it appears that a place of importance has been a little bit diminished in our culture today. I don't think so in this company of saints, but it seems like the role of mom, it may not be as popular in pop culture today, but I could tell you something right now, that's not true in the eyes of God. So this morning we honor God and we honor our mothers, whether they are alive or they have gone home to be with the Lord, and moms who are here in the sanctuary this morning, and recognize the significance and the importance attached to the role of mom. Now our text this morning, we have come to know this text as the Proverbs 31 woman. And I've known this for years. And at first glance, it would appear that if you look at this woman's resume, because it almost seems like a resume that Kathy just read, it's near impossible to fill the shoes as described in the scripture. There is no doubt she's a Wonder Woman. But I want to tell you, every mom I've ever met are Wonder Women.
Amen.
And they have these attributes because they're God-given. Yes, it's learned behavior. We could watch how our mothers raised us. Or my mother was a black belt she had a black belt. Anything she could get her hands on, she knew how to use to keep this guy on the right path. My mother never believed in "wait till your father comes home." That didn't work in her vocabulary. In fact, I couldn't wait till he got home. But she was a good woman and a humble woman. But this woman that's described in Proverbs 31 is a woman of strong character and great qualities, and there's no doubt about that. She's a woman that, yes, exhibits entrepreneurial spirit. She could go out there into the business world and be just as successful as any man. as well as being a homemaker. And there are many moms today that hold that dual assignment. You know, when I was growing up, a lot of the women stayed home. They were homemakers. But today, a lot of the women are working just to pay the mortgage and to pay the bills. And they juggle both jobs, which is quite remarkable. But notice that in all of the text, her outward appearance is never mentioned. Never. It doesn't say anything about her beauty or her exterior. It's unlike today's like Desperate Housewives or the Kardashians, where looks and material possessions, that's noble character. You know, Botox and bucks, I guess. Her attractiveness comes from her character. And her greatness, or the greatest attribute, is her reverence for God. There's nothing greater than that as an attribute is when we have a reverence for God Almighty. Now, we can't explore this entire text this morning. I'm not even going to try. But the opening sentence is not given justice when read in the English language. You have to go back to the biblical language many times, and that's why it requires that we do some study, because when it's transliterated from Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic into English, many times the scripture loses its dynamic sense of what the writer was trying to say. The opening verse says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth more, far more than rubies." But noble character in the Hebrew is not just some great person who has a lot of character. It's a military term. Could you believe that? It is. It connotes being part of a band of brothers or sisters, an army. And we have a soldier here that just came off of active duty, right? How was Wisconsin? Yeah. I did winter warfare training there. My mustache, I could actually break it off. That's how cold it was. But welcome home, by the way. But it's might and power and being valiant in the face of threats. It signifies strength and a person of substance. In other words, noble character translated from the Hebrew is a warrior. Somebody could go to battle. And let me tell you, mess with a mama's kid and you'll find out what a warrior looks like. Don't poke mama bear, right? This is the opposite of being wishy-washy, weak, unstable, shallow personality, and one who gives up and surrenders at the first glance of a threat. Moms don't do that. Moms don't back down. And when the writer said noble character, that writer knew exactly what he was saying. Women, moms, are warriors when it comes to their families. Now, I saw a documented case, and it's true, and it's been verified. A car landed on a child, and the mom picked up the back of this compact car all by herself and moved it. Now, where does that come from? It comes internally because her child was in desperate need, and there was a force from within that rose up in her that said, "If I don't do this, who will?" And so a woman of noble character. This text is not trying to turn moms into G.I. Janes, okay? And by the way, I do respect all of our women in uniform. But in staying with the text, moms are warriors in many ways. And the writer says that you just can't buy this characteristics. It's innate. It's part of who you are. And as you read down the text, you see that she's a tremendous multitasker. I get on the phone with my daughter, and she's doing six things at the same time. Unbelievable how one can multitask. I stand amazed how mothers are able to balance everything in their lives. Us guys try, but we mess it up. My wife wants me to start cooking now. I was sharing that with Janet earlier. She says, now you got to learn how to cook. I hate cooking.
Call reservations.
I will dust, I will vacuum, I'll wash clothes, I'll even dry them and fold them and put them away. But I don't like being in the kitchen. So I told Janet and Jerry this morning, I'm going to cook one meal, and it's going to be really bad, and she'll never ask me again. Now, she's not here this morning. Don't tell her what I said. But moms are special. You know, I absolutely adored my mother. And I wish she was still alive today, that I could go spend some time with her today. Yesterday, I went to the cemetery in the city yesterday morning, and I paid her a visit at St. John's Cemetery and told her how much I loved her. She was a great mom, and she cared for me and my brother greatly. But you know what? I'm also each and every day blessed to be in the presence of another great mom, and that's my wife. And she fits the description of this Proverbs 31 woman. In fact, one time I etched in wood, I burned into wood Proverbs 31 with a picture of her pregnant with our first child. And I gave her that as a gift. I said, you are truly a Proverbs 31 woman. I observed many times my wife in the middle of the night sitting up with our kids that were running a fever, and doing all those things and not sleeping while I slept. And I joyfully witnessed over the years how she gave our children the attention they needed and how she nurtured them in such special ways. And now our daughters are mothers themselves. And so the text this morning also says that Kathy read, and her husband will have full confidence in her. And Lord knows I have full confidence in that little woman that I'm married to. But if we move quickly through these great passages of Scripture, we discover verses 10 through 27 highlight things like this. Listen to these attributes, and moms have them. Hard worker, faithfulness, a good steward with family's resources. You know, moms could pull stuff out of the cabinets in the refrigerator and put a gourmet meal together. Not a complainer, a peacemaker, a provider and nurturer and teacher, one who knows how to set priorities, charitable, even providing for persons' causes outside their own home. She's not self-centered. And the list, the hits go on and on and on. No wonder her husband has full confidence in her. Why wouldn't he? Why don't we? In fact, these are the kind of attributes that people see or should see in everybody who claims to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. We should all have those attributes. Moms should be role models for us to see an image of Christ in another human being. People should have full confidence in each of us because we're believers, because we're Christians. Think of all these characteristics I just named and couple that up, join it up with the fact that she's a warrior too. She's got all these humble characteristics, and then you link it up with warrior, you can understand why moms are so dynamic. Verse 28 and 29 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you, mom, surpass them all. Amen. Wow. You know, Bobby, when you mentioned your mother and you're almost tearing up, she instilled in you something, didn't she?
She's here.
She's here with you.
She's always here.
You know what? We really need to honor our mothers. And listen, friends, for those of you who still have your moms, don't let today go by without either visiting them, calling them. Make it personal, not an email or even a card. A card is nice, but a phone call is even better. Don't miss the opportunity to tell her she's special. Like I said to you yesterday, I could only go to a grave because I couldn't go to my mom in person. The real key that truly unlocks the text is not at the beginning, but it's at the end. Look at verses 30 and 31 as I come to a close. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. I don't care how much Botox you use. When the face starts to droop, I every now and then, in order to shave my neck now, I got to squeeze both sides. Give her the reward she's earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This has everything to do with spiritual values. And it's not performance-based either, though our spiritual values do work out in works, don't they? Faith without works is dead. But it starts with a foundation of reverence of God in this woman's life. You remember I said that she's a woman who knew how to prioritize her family and her life. And this is the order of this woman. And it should be the order of everyone who claims to be a believer. God first, family next, and then others. But you know what society does today? Job first. No, not your job. It's God, family, and then everything else follows after that. This is a mother who is not lukewarm in her faith. This is a mother who not only has a rich spiritual life herself, but she instilled it in her own children. She raised them up in the faith. There's a lot of competition out there today between faith, church, family. There's all kind of activities out there that's pulling out our kids. But moms have to make it a priority to instill in their children spiritual virtues and why that's so important. And so the writer says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The attributes that are contained in our text this morning seems almost impossible to achieve. And you know what? They are impossible to achieve. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
You remember what Philippians 4:13 said? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I could do all things because of God working in and through my life. So being the wife and mother of noble character described by the writer in Proverbs is not only doable, friends, it's expected by God. I used to teach in the lay speaker school when I was pastoring in Connecticut, and my subject of expertise was United Methodist history because I'm a history buff. I love history. In particular, I used to teach about John and Charles Wesley. But the only way I was able to begin to talk about John and Charles Wesley was to talk about their mother, Susanna. She's rarely talked about. It's always John, the preacher, and Charles, the hymn writer. But Susanna was one of the most dynamic mothers that you ever want to study and read about. Her father was a minister. She was born in England in 1669, and she was the youngest, listen to this, the youngest of 25 children. There was no TV in that parsonage. Now, Susanna got married at 19 years old, and she married Samuel Wesley, who was also a preacher. And she didn't want to seem a little light, so she wound up having 19 children. Could you imagine 19 children?
No.
There's a Greek phrase for that, oi vei. Her husband was always gone. He was always involved in church business. He was always hodgenobbing with the bishops down in London. And he oftentimes left Susanna to run the shop, not only to raise the kids, but to teach Bible studies. In fact, at one time, the bishop said, tell your wife she's not allowed to teach Bible studies. And Susanna says, you tell the bishop He'll be accountable to God for what he does, and I'll be accountable to God for what I do.
Amen.
So back off. Back off, Sammy. But her husband was always gone. She always wanted to do big things for God, and she did. She humbly raised all 19 of those children. And with so many children, listen to this, she devised a way to spend time with every single one of them. She spent 1 hour each day praying for her 19 children. Not 19 hours, but an hour exclusively just to pray covering prayers of her children. In addition, she took each child aside for a full hour every week to discuss spiritual matters. 19 hours through the week, she would sit down with each kid individually. She also expected each child to be able to read the book of Genesis by the time he or she was 6 years old. She was a warrior mom. Susanna just doesn't get enough credit in the Methodist movement. Even in our busy world today, it could still be done. Is there anybody here that has 19 or 25 children? Oh, okay. And the dividends are tremendous, because John and Charles Wesley went on to turn the world upside down as evangelists, literally to the ends of the earth. And at the end of John's age, he died at 88, he was asked, "Reverend Wesley, who had the greatest influence over your life?" He didn't say a seminary professor. "My mother, Susanna. She made the biggest difference in my life, for which I will be ever grateful. Moms, keep up the good work. You're not done yet. Some of them grow up and even move back. You're always going to be a mom. And I just want to say, I'm proud of each of you for all that you do in sowing into your children. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. Amen.